The First Years of Christianity, Chapter 13, The Order of Preaching. First, as to preaching the word. This evidently varied according to circumstances. The first day, the Pentecost, was ushered in by the descent of the Holy Spirit. A vast multitude was called together by the rushing sound from heaven. The assembly of God on earth was formed by the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with miraculous power. Peter was then used to preach the crucified and risen Christ. The result is a new company is formed at Jerusalem. That company is called the Church, or more properly translated, the Assembly. The word thus translated always means an assembly. It is so used to describe the nation of Israel in the wilderness, Acts 7 verse 38. It is the same word in the Greek used to describe a crowd in the theater at Ephesus, Acts 19, verses 32, 39, and 41, and it is properly translated assembly. But what is this new company called the church or the assembly? That it is a new company is clear. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Does this company, the church of God, ever appear in Scripture before Pentecost, Acts 2? Never, except in two passages, and there as a future thing, Matthew 16, verse 18, and 18, verse 17. I will build my church, tell it to the church. Peter preached at Pentecost, but the Lord by the Holy Spirit formed this new assembly. It was not that he formed what we see now, hundreds of sects or denominations. He did not form the Greek or Roman or Anglican churches and so forth, but the Church of God. It is of immense interest to inquire what this was and what it is. Did you ever do this? It was composed of all saved persons. The Lord added, together or to the church daily, such as should be saved. This new company then was composed of such as should be saved. The true church of Christ was only composed of the saved, or such as were being saved. All that were saved were added together and formed the assembly of Christ. To this agree the words of Paul, to the assembly of God which is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, and so forth. And again, to the assembly of God which is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Compare 1 Thessalonians 1:1 and 2 Thessalonians 1:1. Thus it is most certain that no person belonged to the Church of God in the first years of Christianity except the holy ones, the sanctified in Christ Jesus. Be not deceived. If this is not your case, you have no part nor lot in the Church of God. The Church is also the body of Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And mark, the body is not a body of Christians organized by men. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. This body, this one body, is composed of all true saved believers, and is formed by the Holy Spirit. Dear fellow believers, now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Such is the church, the body of Christ. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. Mark, this is all of God. He set what he pleased in the church, and what he pleases still remains. Do not be too sure that what you call the church is the church of God, but search the Scriptures. Only of this be sure, that if you are not saved and made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light, whatever other church you may belong to, you do not at present belong to the church of God. Now, as to the preaching and ministry of the Word of God in the first years of Christianity, we must notice the difference between individual responsibility to Christ and ministry in the assembly. Individually, they had the guidance of the Holy Spirit as to where they should go, as Paul in Acts 13. He and Barnabas were sent by the Holy Spirit, and they had the fellowship of the assembly at Antioch, and we find them preaching Christ and declaring the glad tidings at Antioch in Pisidia. Then Paul and Silas are directed to Philippi by the riverside. See the same guidance at Thessalonica, Athens, and Corinth. In Ephesus, we find Paul for 2 years daily in the school of one Tyrannus, Acts 19. So it is evident that the evangelist or teacher is responsible, as guided by the Holy Spirit, to preach the word wherever the Spirit opens a door for him. These should also be commended and helped on in their way by the assembly, 3 John. It is, however, astonishing how little we find as to the assembly's meetings for worship and edification that answers to modern Christendom. Suppose you look through the Acts and the Epistles. Do you find anything in the least like the Mass? Is there any priest to offer a sacrifice for the living or the dead? It could not possibly be, since all the worshipers were forever perfected by the one sacrifice of Christ, and there is no more sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10 verses 1 through 18. To break bread in remembrance of that death through which they had redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, was done by the disciples on the first day of the week, Acts 20 verse 7. To offer another sacrifice would be to deny the eternal efficacy of the one sacrifice which had been offered. Do you find the disciples ever did this? That all true believers were worshiping priests is evident. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. What kind of places of worship had they? Had they churches or chapels or temples? Had they consecrated bells or buildings? These abound now, but do we find a trace of such in the New Testament? Not a trace. We find them in an upper chamber in Acts 20 verse 8. Wherever the saints were gathered together to Christ, there was, and there only, the true church or assembly. Was it not so? Worship was spiritual, in spirit and in truth and in the holiest, Hebrews 10 verse 19. This was the very immediate presence of God, the third heavens. The tabernacle or place of worship of Israel was a figure of this. There is the atmosphere, the starry heavens, and the dwelling place of God, the third heavens, the holiest. And in spirit, the whole church had holy boldness there as worshipers. But as to buildings, so-called places of worship, we do not find one, even in imperial Rome. Read the last chapter in the Epistle to the Romans, and all must admit that all we find are assemblies in houses. Thus the place was nothing. The Father had found worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. But when gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, do we find the order of worship and ministry described in the Word? Concerning this matter, we find the Holy Spirit present, Acts 13 verses 1 through 4. And whatever the diversity of gifts present, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. Mark, this is in the assembly. But no man could take the place of the Spirit of God, and no man could take the place of the Lord. But if confusion took place, did they not appoint a man as the minister over the assembly? We never find such a thing. Confusion had come in, 1 Corinthians 14. Do we read that one man must therefore take the lead or the whole service? No. We read, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. Read to the end of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 29 through 40. It is quite true that human arrangements have set all this aside, but such was the Christianity of the first years. The presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit was a reality. And Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Verse 37. Now, whatever men may set up, it is most certain that when the assembly is gathered together for worship and edification, it is the will of the Lord that there should be this holy liberty for two or three to be used of the Holy Spirit in ministry. Surely we have lost that deep sense of the Lord's presence which was in the assemblies in the early days of Christianity. A mere imitation, however, of this true order of ministry in the assembly, without real heart subjection to the Holy Spirit ever present, would be utterly powerless and would soon degenerate into radicalism or self-will. If, on the other hand, human pretensions have usurped the place of the Spirit, and human organization has entirely displaced scriptural primitive order, let us not boast, but humble ourselves, and ever remember the apostolic commendation is to God and the word of His grace, and not to any party or denomination of men. And though Christendom has ceased to walk according to the commands of Christ, yet we are warranted in expecting to find some who desire to own who is the holy and the true. To such, Jesus still says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. And further, to such he says, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3, verses 8 to 11. Beloved reader, is the Lord's word nothing to you? Is it quite enough for you to go on with the stream of modern profession? Is it nothing to you what name you bear in Babylon? Or while conscious of much failure, is it the desire of your heart to answer to what the Lord so graciously approves in the above Scripture, indeed in all Scripture? May the Lord use these few remarks on the first years of Christianity to stir up our hearts, to seek to walk so as to have the testimony that what we do in these last days of Christendom may be pleasing in His sight. Many of the readers may say, would it not be most profitable to look into the Scriptures for an answer to this question, what is the church? We will look to the Lord to enable us to do so.